You know, let's go back and look at these six catastrophic events again, right? A great earthquake, the sun becoming black, the moon turning red, stars falling to earth, heavens roll back like a scroll, the shaking of the earth. All right. Now, let's look at one catastrophic request in verses 15 through 17. Let me read that again. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the sixth seal. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the sixth seal.
People. And in the book of Revelation, we see here again that God will use an earthquake to bring judgment upon people. So let's summarize this whole issue of natural disasters. Why are there natural disasters? There are natural disasters because the earth is laboring under a fallen creation, the sin. That creation is groaning. And so again, when you see these things happening, tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, when you see these things, that's the earth groaning because of sin. And there are natural explanations for these things because the earth is groaning. So there are natural explanations, but it's still, even the natural explanation is a result of the earth groaning and laboring under sin. And we see that God also works through these things to bring judgment on people. So whenever there's a hurricane, earthquake, things of that nature, is that God judging? No, it's not. But God does use these things to bring judgment on the earth. And here in the book of Revelation, we see that this is the case, that there's a great earthquake that takes place. And we read a little bit later in Revelation 6 and verse 16, notice what this is called. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb, that the Lamb is pouring out his wrath upon the earth. So let's continue on in Revelation. So I wanted to do that to give us an understanding of natural disasters and how God does work through natural disasters sometimes. So again, I don't want anybody to leave saying, Pastor Glaze said every time there's an earthquake or there's a hurricane that God is judging. Now, that's not what I said. I said that God does use these things in certain situations to bring divine judgment and to get people's attention. As we go on to read in Revelation, we see that the sun becomes black and the moon turns red. Now, you know, there has been over the years all kind of explanations. You know, people have written books on blood moons. People have written books on these things that take place when darkness appears upon the earth. And during this time of judgment, this will be one of the things that happens, is the sun becoming black and the moon turning red. So how are we to take that? You know, what does that mean? Basically the meaning is that the light of the sun will be blocked and the moon will become reddish in appearance. The sun becomes dark whenever we have a solar eclipse. You know, just think about or you know, supernatural darkness, right? Just think about when Jesus was dying on the cross. What happened? That the Bible says that darkness covered the face of the earth. So the sun can be darkened, you know, either by eclipse, or, you know, God can supernaturally bring darkness on the face of the earth. Now just think, you know, when we go back and reread the account of Jesus' crucifixion, you know, it says from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, that and that's right during the heart of the day, right, you know, from noon until 3 o'clock. But darkness covered the face of the earth for 3 hours. And you know, that's interesting. And this will be a phenomenon that takes place during the tribulation. So, you know, there will be times when darkness, you know, covers the face of the earth. Like, you know, remember, another example would be when the 10 plagues in Egypt, when darkness came. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I believe that this is talking about a death thickening darkness. You know, have you ever been like when there's no lights, or, you know, there's the moon is not up, and you've just been out and it's just been dark? I mean, you know, it's almost like an eerie darkness. Well, you know, that's the kind of darkness that's going to take place with this sixth seal being opened. But also it says that the moon becomes red in appearance, right? And so, you know, when does the moon become red? You know, well, you know, when we see a lunar eclipse, you know, with the light that certain light being blocked out and certain light shining on the moon, it becomes reddish in appearance. So, you know, however these things happen, it's important to remember that during the opening of this sixth seal, that these things will change in their appearance. You know, and again, you know, these will be signs during this time of divine judgment, of God's divine judgment. We see also, it talks about stars falling to the earth. And, you know, now this is, I took this quote here from John MacArthur, and he says, obviously in this context, it does not refer to actual stars, since they are far too large. Because if you think about some of the stars, you know, what is the sun? What is the sun? The sun is a star, right? Basically, that's what it is. And so, you know, there are stars of all sizes, but, you know, and from what they say, you know, the sun might be average or a small star. So if this was literal stars, you know, it would, upon hitting the earth, it would completely disintegrate it. Some people believe that this actually is a reference to asteroids or meteorites that bombard the earth. And many scientists have speculated that large asteroids that strike the earth, you know, could have, or, you know, asteroids or comets or meteors would have a devastating cause upon the destruction upon this earth. So, you know, during this time, there'll be meteorites and comets and asteroids that will bombard the earth. Again, this is all a sign of God's divine judgment. The heavens will part as a scroll. Now, when you think about this, now, again, I didn't necessarily read this in my studies, but this is something as I meditated on this passage where, you know, it talked about the heavens being rolled back like a scroll. What I thought was maybe this is God opening up the heavens so that people have no question about where this divine judgment is coming from. That is coming from heaven itself. It's coming from the one who is seated on the throne and the Lamb. That's where it's coming from. And saints, you know, as we look at today, that, you know, we live in a time of grace, that God is being gracious and as the scripture says, that he has given us the opportunity to repent and come to him and be saved. And, you know, we need to take advantage of this. And thank God that I believe that all of you on this Zoom Bible study, that you have taken the opportunity to avail yourself of God's grace. Man, praise God for that. Because, you know, we don't want to face the wrath of God. And that's what we see here happening in Revelation, that these individuals will face the wrath of God. And I believe, according to 2 Thessalonians, that people who have heard the gospel now and that have rejected it. Now, this is my interpretation of that passage in 2 Thessalonians. I believe that they're not going to get a second chance. That if you have loved ones, if you have friends that have continuously rejected the gospel, they have heard the gospel and they rejected it, I believe that they're not going to get a second chance once the tribulation starts. And so they are going to be the recipients of God's divine wrath. And you know what? I'm so glad. I thank God that years ago that the Spirit of God convicted me and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior, and that I am covered by his blood, and that I have experienced God's love and I experienced God's grace. But there comes a day when I believe the heavens will open and people will be able to look and see that now this is where this divine judgment is coming from. Because if you remember back in Revelation 5, you know, it talked about, let me see if I can find it here. It talked about the throne room of heaven. And it says here, in verse 1, John said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals." So where is the location of the events of this whole issue of the scroll being opened? It's in the throne room of God. So that's why I believe that the heavens will be parted as a scroll, and people will be able to look and see that this is the divine judgment of Almighty God. And not only God, the one who's seated on the throne, but also the Lamb. And so let me say this also, because some people believe that the church will go through the tribulation. They believe that the church will go through the tribulation. Now, one of the reasons that I believe that the church will not go through the tribulation is because the Lamb. And who is the bride of the Lamb? The church. And who is the church? You know, the church is us. And so we are the bride of Christ. And we are not going to experience.
Things going okay.
Okay, somebody needs to go on mute. Somebody needs to go on mute. Thank you. All right. That we will not experience the wrath of the Lamb, right? And so this is, you know, this is the wrath of the Lamb. And so why would Jesus pour his wrath out on his church, who he saved? Why would he pour his wrath out on the bride that who he is going to bring back with him one day? See, that's another reason why I believe that the church will not go through the tribulation, because this is the wrath of the Lamb. And I don't believe that the Lamb will pour his wrath out on his bride. The Bible says that the earth will be shaken. It says that every mountain and island were moved out of its place. God is trying to get their attention. You know, he's going to shake this earth. in every mountain and every island will be moved. So we've seen the six catastrophic events. You know, let's go back and look at these six catastrophic events again, right? A great earthquake, the sun becoming black, the moon turning red, stars falling to earth, heavens roll back like a scroll, the shaking of the earth. All right. Now let's look at one catastrophic request in verses 15 through 17. Let me read that again. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The heroes, you know, I thought of when it said the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the captains and the mighty men, right? I thought of all the superheroes. Now we know that these individuals are not real, so I'm saying that right now. But just think, you know, these are individual that we think, you know, as far as, you know, cartoons, that these are superheroes, right? Just think of that. The superheroes. Now, again, I know they're not real, so don't say Pastor Glaze is teaching that, you know, Superman was real or that Wonder Woman was real. No, that's I'm using this to try to paint a picture. And the picture that I'm trying to paint is that the Bible is talking about, you know, mighty people on this earth, kings that have ruled countries, that have ruled nations. Great men, you know, men of renown, men of wealth, captains of armies, mighty men, right? So you can get a picture of these Marvel characters being some of the cartoon superheroes, right? And these are, you know, we think about these cartoons and these movies. You know, we think of these individuals and how mighty and how powerful they are. And so, you know, these are people that will normally feel secure, right? They, you know, they realize that they have power and, you know, they can just think about this, that they could just about overcome anything. And, you know, there are people, you know, that live on this earth that think they can just about overcome anything. So we see the heroes here, that John talks about in Revelation 6, the heroes. But what do they do? What do these heroes do? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. The heroes of the earth become utterly undone. Just think about Superman. Now, again, I know it's a cartoon, right? I know it's a Marvel character, but just, you know, think about Superman hiding in the cave, right, in the den, because of the wrath of God. The mighty men of the earth, that they hid themselves in the rocks and in the mountains, that these heroes become utterly undone, right? They're just shaken at their roots during this time. And I believe that at this time that people are going to, you know, those who think that they're powerful and mighty, you know, they're going to realize that they're not as powerful and mighty as they thought they were. The hiding. And then we see the hardness. And what is the hardness? And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, isn't this interesting? Instead of seeking the Lord and asking for his forgiveness, the great men of the earth will turn to the creation. They will turn to the creation. They will turn to the rocks and the mountains. And they will ask the creation to fall on them and to kill them, to take their lives. And this goes to show you how hard their hearts are, right? So that's why, you know, when you read a passage like this, this is why I believe that, you know, people who have heard the gospel, now, if they're here during the tribulation, I believe that they won't get saved because their hearts will just become so hard, you know. And just think about Pharaoh and how that, you know, Pharaoh, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it said that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he would not repent, so that he would not go along with God's program. But we see this throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. In Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21, it says, and the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, neither can they see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murder. Man, you know, even people will continue to murder, and they will continue to be involved in witchcraft, and they will continue to be involved in fornication, sex outside of marriage, and they will continue to be thieves and steal, right? Instead of repent, they will continue in their way, the hardness of their way. So, you know, again, that's why I'm saying that, you know, probably these people are not going to people now that reject the gospel, that don't fall on their face before God and ask him to forgive them and save their soul, that I believe that, you know, these individuals will just become harder during the tribulation. And we even see in Revelation 19 and verse 19, it says, I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and the armies, they gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So who's the one that sits on the horse in Revelation 19? That's Christ sitting on the horse. So these individuals will even be so bold that the ones that don't run to the mountains or ask the rocks to fall on them, that they will continue to shake their fist in God's face and make war against him. You know, you think about, there's a passage of scripture that talks about if you fall on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, if you fall on him, if you become broken by falling on him and asking for his grace, asking for his mercy, if you fall on the rock and you're broken to yourself, if you fall on the rock and you're broken to your sin, that God will save you. But it says, woe unto him who this rock falls on. You know, because if the rock falls on you, then you will be utterly crushed. So that's a question that people should ask themselves. Have I fallen on the rock and been broken to self and sin? Or is one day the rock going to fall on me and break me in judgment? And so we see that this is the sixth seal. The sixth seal that was opened, and when the sixth seal was opened, these are some of the things that happened, and these are some of the things that took place in the opening of the sixth seal. All right.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the seventh seal. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Sixth Seal, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sixth Seal. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sixth Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in redemption.